put Macintosh in the middle of your company, and some remarkable things start to happen. Those who shoot from the hip suddenly show signs of organization. And those who live by the book show glimmers of creativity. Ideas surface from people you thought had retired.
You are built building.
Reports that could bore the dead sparkle with graphic clarity. Your eighth floor will actually communicate with your seventh. Presentations begin to border on the flamboyant. And your most tireless worker will actually have time to take an afternoon off. And a budding genius will be found.
Did this?
Where once a face was seen.
It's very good.
But not heard.
Very, very good.
And one by one, each and every person in your company will begin to discover the power of Macintosh. The power to be your best.
Hello! And welcome to the Hulkcast EBS 30 Plus Minute Apple Conversation. You're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, he's the author of 26 Apple books, creator of Cult-O-Mac, and the purveyor of the dreaded London handshake. Leander Caney is here.
Hello, Erfan.
Also with us, he's ghostwritten 26 Apple books, none of which have anything to do with the books that Leander's written. We should just move on. Lewis Wallace is here.
Yeah, getting started on a graphic novel real soon. First, I got to learn to draw.
Okay, let's continue. Also with us, no Apple journalist writes more stories while totally nude. Buster Caney is here.
I don't know about that. Killian Bell, he's the nudist writer.
Oh, really?
As well. Yeah.
You know who I know never writes stories in the nude? Gurman.
Gurman?
Fully clothed.
No, yeah.
Tie on, jacket on.
Rubber gloves.
Rubber gloves. Sunglasses. Yeah, that guy's decked out from head to toe. Isn't he living he's living the hot life. And is he in L.A. or in California? Do you guys know?
L.A. is still in California.
He's still in L.A.?
He's here, isn't he?
He's in San Francisco.
Oh, he is? He never moved? Just got fancier. Every time I see him, he's wearing like a suit and tie now. So fancy.
He's a TV man. So
well, he's always on TV now. That's exactly right. He's got to look hot, and he does look hot. I'm not joking around here. Well, here's what we're gonna do this episode. So, as many of you may know, it is the Consumer Electronics Show this week. Consumer Electronics Show 2018, which is the penultimate gadgetry technology show that we used to go to in years past. We've been to it lots of times. It's always a hoot, and you see the most insane products, the wildest products, the weirdest stuff, the most wonderful stuff. And that is what we're going to be talking about this week. We've scoured all the gadgets that came out at CES 2018, and we're going to be telling you about our favorite weirdest ones, the most wonderful ones, the wackiest ones. We've all got some picks, so we'll be telling you about those gadgets. And the thing about the show is you see some gadgets that you think to yourself, wow, that's amazing. And then you look across the room and you're like, why does that one exist? There's no reason anyone needed to create that stuff. And the scale of the show, it's unless you've been there, it's hard to fathom how huge CES is. It is massive. You can't even see it. It's like going to Disney World. You need to ride around in like a golf cart and not even stop at the different booths just to see it all. Anyway, so we'll do that. But before we hop into all the fun, let me say thank you to the Art of Charm podcast for supporting this episode. The Art of Charm is an iTunes top 50 podcast. It is packed with wisdom in the truest sense of the word. From how to become more productive and professional to how to read body language, network, and negotiate. The show basically covers anything that will help you become a high performer at home and at work. You're basically going to become Buster Heine, the highest performer in all regards. Phew. And with an armory of powerful weapons like influence and persuasion, two of the things that L. Caney has down, it brings together interesting people like Shaq Diesel, Russell Brand, Larry King, Neil deGrasse Tyson, which is Lewis's favorite person on Earth, and Bill Nye to discuss relationships, attraction, life hacking. Lewis, I know you like to hack life.
Oh, man.
And success. The Art of Charm is highly addictive and strives to be fun and educational at the same time, much like yours truly. It's not stuffy college professor textbook stuff. Personal growth shouldn't be so boring all the time. This isn't pop psychology and superficial advice. This is a show that offers meaningful, fun, life-changing insights with a practical edge that you can apply right out of the box. Aren't you always looking for more podcasts? Content to listen to that's going to keep you entertained and teach you stuff. I always am. That's why I think you should check out the Art of Charm podcast. It will help you get an extraordinary life. Go to theartofcharm.com/podcast. Theartofcharm.com/podcast or search for The Art of Charm on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and start taking your life, Leander Caney, to the next level. theartofcharm.com/podcast. Leander, is there a level above where you're at? I don't even think that there is. it's just called heaven.
Yeah, I think I pretty much reached the pinnacle of
you've gone clear, as the Scientologists say. There's no level above yours. Tom Cruise comes to you for personal advice. We have our own Deepak Chopra on the show, ladies and gentlemen. We're lucky to have him. Okay. All righty. Let's jump in to the CES stories. Well, first of all, I thought we could lay the scene for people, okay, that have never been to CES. Leander, how would you describe the CES experience? We've been there in years past many times. You love it. You hate it. Give us some words.
Yeah, it's the hungover hell on earth.
Well, not the first part of the week, is it? That's the last part of the week.
Well, the show floor is awful.
It starts on a night, and so you're already getting free drinks. So you pretty much do start it hungover the day the floor opens.
If you drink, yeah. When we went, I don't recall you and I drinking from the first night. Leander did.
We had to work.
Yeah, right, you did. Correct. Yeah, what are you talking about? Alex, he threw up all over the bedroom floor. Don't you remember?
Yeah, but he had even one cocktail. There. That wasn't a result of party. He had one single cocktail. He had a sip of Buster's cocktail. That was all he had. But, well, for the press, it's also a different experience, right? Because they're always ushering us into the after parties where you get to look at all the gadgets one-on-one and then they're always just trying to stuff your face with food and give you really fancy drinks. Like, yeah. I remember one year, we went to that, I don't even know what show it was, but, like, Gallagher's brother was there. Do you remember this, Leander? Because I think you were freaked out because he was there. You thought he was Gallagher. I think maybe we all did because they're twins, basically. And, Gallagher, the guy who smashes watermelons with a hammer. We just lost all of our European listeners. No one knows who he is.
Including
me. But he's
a
big deal here in the U.S. He was a millionaire. He made his millions doing comedy shows where he would put watermelons on stage and then smash them with a big hammer, and that would take like 2 hours, and everyone would cheer and, you know, go home. Anyway, we were at this party, and they had like the most fluorescent yellow drinks I've ever seen in my entire life. It looked like antifreeze. And Leander, you were just tipping those back. You must have had 26 or 27 of those.
Right.
I think you ended up in Old Town Vegas with Gallagher's brother at the slot machines that night.
That was the night we were hanging out with Andy Dick, was it?
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that. That's right. So I think, doesn't that just pretty much sum up what it's like to be press at CES? Is you end up hanging out with Andy Dick.
Wow.
Yeah. Which is a true story. We did. And he had no intention of actually hanging out with us. He was just the same party that we were at. But he was there, nonetheless. And then you end up hanging out with Will.i.am.
You get a lot of C-list celebrities.
Right.
Who was that other guy that we hung out with?
Oh, Dr. Evil's son?
Yeah, that guy.
I can't actually remember his name. The redheaded dude? Yeah. Isn't it Scott
Carrot
something?
Top?
Seth Meyers? No.
No, Scott was his name on Austin Powers. He was Scott Evil.
Yeah, I can't remember. He was big in the early aughts, though.
And he still does stuff on Comedy Central, like Robot Chicken.
Yeah,
I gotta look this up. Anyway, sorry, Leander. So it's tiring. It's complete hell on earth. But there's also cool parts of it too. What are some of your favorite fun parts of it?
The favorite fun parts, the drinking, of course.
wow.
The food they lay out at some of the press events, like Showstoppers and Pepcom. The grub there is pretty good. Mm-hmm. The favorite parts, going to the airport to fly out of there.
No, you don't hate it half as much as you're pretending that you did. You had a great time.
I'm really kind of like struggling to think of a part that I like.
But yet you miss it, don't you?
Well, I do kind of miss it, yeah. Because I'm reading about all the stuff going on there, and it's kind of fun. I mean, it's fun going and hanging out with everybody and seeing all these people you know and talking to the vendors. Of course, they want you to talk about their products and stuff like that. But often you get a conversation about the industry or what's going on in general, you know, stuff like that. That's always fun.
You do get a good idea of the direction that they're heading in all these various parts of different industries too.
You know, it's funny looking at it this year, you know, looking at all the gadgets and you think, oh my, you know, like you said in the intro, you know, like some of the stuff is cool, but then a lot of it is like, you know, why does that exist? And, you know, just reading about it, it's like, I definitely got that, you know, it's like trying to remember what came out in last year or the year before. I mean, none of this stuff really made an impact, did it? You know, is any of it sort of sticking around, the stuff they introduce? It's really like, definitely a shotgun type of show. There's a lot of stuff that's thrown against the wall, you know, that's just going to disappear in a year or two.
And there's usually like a theme, and that theme will be applied to every single product at the show. Like,
right.
In many years, it was Bluetooth. Like, you saw the Bluetooth forks, the Bluetooth this, the Bluetooth G-string, like all these products that they would just add Bluetooth onto just in case somebody wanted to buy it for some reason.
That's very true. Yeah, definitely, definitely, definitely. And this year, it's like AI and you know, smart speaker control.
Yeah, and Amazon Alexa seems to be getting added to
everywhere.
Yeah.
And then there's the scale. So you're in all these massive casinos, and if you've never been to Las Vegas, it's deceivingly large. Everything looks really close together, but when you actually have to walk from one casino to the next, you realize how massive everything is. The casinos themselves are big, and then they're all very far apart from each other. And so the show is spread out over all these different casinos, and you are just exhausted. Your feet are just barking because you're walking everywhere and going to all these parties and having all these vendors try to schmooze you and set you up with escorts, and it's just the wild life for like a whole week. And in that, you're supposed to actually get some work done and write about these different technology products that many of which totally suck. And at best, you know, maybe completely, maybe partly practical, but oftentimes are completely ridiculous things that will be gone within 6 months forever.
Well, the thing we should know is that it's not actually a consumer show. It's a trade show. So it's really for people who are buying.
Yeah,
it's like Cannes, you know, at the movie festival. You know, even though the stars show up, you know, really it's there for the distributors to buy the movies. And the same is true here. Like, you know, a lot of it is like these, you know, Chinese OEM manufacturers, you know, who've got like a whole booth full of all these cables and connectors and stuff, you know, and they're looking for someone to like buy their stuff.
I have a friend, their company, what they do is it's like a small company, and they just go to CES every year and they find like a really small item that some company can make super cheap, like a battery recharger for an iPhone. And they just basically white label it, slap their branding on it, and put it in Walgreens and other stores like that. And so they're making those type of deals at CES.
I think that's a lot of what's happening there, too. And then there are also companies that are trying to get press to launch new products. Tons of car companies.
But it's
huge
be-
Apple presence, of course, now with all these different Apple accessories and stuff and smart speakers.
What's that? You know, the thing I was going to say, though, is it's like it's the last tech conference standing, though, right? I mean, there's not, you know, Macworld's gone and, you know, there used to be a bunch of other big conferences. You know, none of them don't seem to be around anymore. At least the sort of consumer-focused ones, anyway.
Oh, man. Remember, I didn't go to the last Macworld, but I think it was the last consumer electronics show we went to. We followed it up with going to Macworld and just seeing the difference between the offering at Macworld and the offering at CES. It was just like so sad, so sad. I remember like one of the products I saw at Macworld was this guy who had made a bow and arrow for your iPhone, and you'd place your iPhone in it and then you could play like video games by pointing the bow and arrow around. And that was the coolest thing. And I use that word loosely. That was the coolest thing I saw at the whole show. And I think we all knew at that point Macworld was on its way out because the CES had kind of eaten its lunch. But yeah, I don't know if there are many other technology shows that exist that are out there, but none of them are like CES, that's for sure. Just the scale and the ritz and the glamour of all the tech companies spending bazillions of dollars trying to impress people and spread the word about their new products and stuff. All that said, I think my favorite part of the show was always, oftentimes, the monster party. And if you're thinking like Monster, you mean like the cable company, like the company that sells like HDMI cable stuff? Yes, that company. They had a very eccentric founder. Do you remember his name?
Yeah, Noel Lee.
Noel Lee. The guy was dressed to the nines. He had the most impeccable suits.
Usually gold.
Yeah, he had gold all over.
And not his Segway.
And he rode a Segway. So I don't know what is wrong with Noel's legs, but I don't think he can walk, or he has great difficulty walking. But he rolls in style, and I mean that quite literally. The guy rolls around on a Segway.
Golden
like
Segway.
Lost.
Like Buster said, it was a gold,
it's
shiny
completely
gold
decked
Segway.
Out. And the wheels have spinners in them. You know, like Shaq Diesel's like Denali?
So
it has like
swaggy.
Those. Like when the Segway stops, the wheels don't. So Noel's constantly rolling. And Monster threw the best parties. They would always have the most amazing musicians there. I mean, I think we had Stevie Wonder one year. And didn't we see, Buster, who was...
Fleetwood Mac we saw one year.
Oh,
Mac,
yeah, dude.
We saw that. That was when you got
so
into the front
close
row,
to
right?
Stevie Nicks. That was like...
You got right
dude,
up.
Dude,
yeah.
Thank God for the Monster concerts. Like, I still think about that concert. I'm like, I was so close to Stevie. Like,
if you had to pay for that ticket, that would have cost you $800, $1,000 if you even could have gotten your hands on tickets to get that close. Because, you know, scalpers always take all those tickets. You could have been up there playing the bongos. You were that close.
Yeah, it was so sweet.
Which would have made the show much better.
I was upset, though, because they cut off the free drinks that year.
Oh, yeah.
They did.
They used to always have free drinks at that party.
Or they would do like a paid bar for most people, but then like for press it was free.
Yeah, that was also the party where we ended up on top of the Eiffel Tower at like 3 a.m. like doing drums with these air drums for like
let's not
2 hours
this.
Spilling over drinks.
Let's not talk about this part. Yeah, maybe let's just skip over this part of the story. We played air drums.
Dude, like, we looked really
three
cool.
Massive shows. We played air drums for like 2 hours, just spilling our drinks everywhere.
Our shoes were destroyed.
We
had covered
with
word,
like pineapple
we
juice. No, we hardly talked to each other at all.
It's like we weren't even like on LSD or anything. We were. It was
Leander was. Yeah,
but we were all zoned in something. It was weird.
Those
party.
Drinks. We were smashed.
Oh my god. Well, it's hard to even keep track. I mean,
yeah.
It's just you go there. Everyone's handing you drinks. The drinks are all free. It's just a fun environment. It's a party atmosphere. Everyone's having a great time. And all these tech companies, you really can't imagine. They're just throwing money around. I mean, you'll go and there will be food, like free food trucks everywhere where you can just go and eat. And they're sponsored by Google, sponsored by like Monster Energy Drink, you know, sponsored by all these companies that want to get your attention and your press. It's just totally bizarre. So it really creates this party atmosphere where you don't even know what the hell is going on. People in buses are picking you up and taking you places that you didn't even want to go or know you were going. That's how you end up at the Bunny Ranch at like 5 a.m. on a Sunday. Anyway, so let's talk about the technologies, because clearly the technology is a big part of the show. So, Leander, you scoured the technology at CES. What was one thing that stood out to you, and why did it stand out to you?
Well, you know, given the theme of last week's show where we talked about the high-tech bidets that everyone loves, so checking out this Alexa-controlled hands-free toilet from Alexa just woke up, from Kohler. So Kohler's an Alexa-powered.
And of course, that was a big theme this year, wasn't it? Alexa in everything. Everything's yeah. powered by Alexa.
But there's a faucet, you know, I think from Kohler as well. Mirrors, toothbrushes, all kinds of crazy stuff, right?
Now, what could you possibly want to talk to your bidet about?
Well, first of all, you can tell it to flush. But it also has, you can do the water control, you know, to turn the temperature up or down, or you know, increase the pressure, decrease the pressure. It has some kind of feet warming. I'm not really sure what that was, but it said it had feet warming, so maybe it blasts some hot air.
This is like
feet.
A whole toilet experience, not just the bidet part of it.
And it also plays music, and there's a night light. And the seat temperature as well. You can adjust the seat temperature.
It plays music.
Yeah, and then you can tell it to flush. So if you've got to play some AC/DC.
Yeah, that's definitely the tune I want to have going when I'm in there. Well, that sounds like something that honestly I don't think I would want to use my bathroom. It sounds like overkill. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I don't need to have a lot of AI features built into my toilets. But AI being built into stuff was certainly one of the themes this year. And I'm going to talk about an AI product as well that was completely pointless. A product that just doesn't need AI, and yet they just build it in because they're like, hey, Alexa's huge, right? Let's just try to build Alexa into our toilet and see if that wows anyone. And I'm sure somebody will end up with an Alexa-powered toilet.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. Did you buy one, Lander? Are you going to pre-order one?
Did I buy one? No, of course I didn't.
It's only $6,000.
Yeah.
That's right.
I would have got a cheap one that I, you know, bolted onto my the regular toilet we have at home. But
yeah, but you can't talk to it.
No.
You can't tell it about your feelings.
I don't think I want any more Alexa-powered stuff. I've got this Echo Before, Alexa-powered thermostat that I don't use at all. So I can't imagine. And in fact, it's just sending my bill through the roof.
Oh, right. Are you having problems with your Ecobee?
Yeah, it seems to be on all the time now.
Oh, okay. So it's not. So they didn't fix that in Ecobee 3. They must have just added on Alexa and released Ecobee 4.
Yeah. Right. But it might be the kids, because the kids are constantly going over there and messing with it. So I locked them out for a while. There was a huge protest about that. So
a mutiny.
Yeah.
Okay. So we got an Alexa hands-free toilet and bidet. Okay, Lewis, what do you got for us?
Well, I focused my research on HomeKit devices, and I found another similar bathroom kind of situation that seems to me kind of nuts. You know,
but you do like those bathroom gadgets.
Well, yeah. So Kohler also has this thing called the Perfect Fill Bath System, and this is a valve system with a water controller and drain, right? And you can say, oh yeah, I want you to fill up my bathtub with this temperature water at this level. You know, it's just kind of nuts, isn't it?
Now that actually sounds useful.
Yeah,
I think so.
I suppose maybe. I don't know. To me, the whole smart shower thing. Aside from the fact that, think about new construction. Okay, fine. Or if you do a remodel, right? But these things cost thousands of dollars, right? And think about how it's not plug and play. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine what kind of
installation is involved?
Yeah, what kind of leap you have to make, right? You're saying, okay, I'm going to spend all this money for this high end shower, this high end bathtub, and think about how often this kind of technology becomes outdated in a year or two, or doesn't work quite the way you expected it to, or has a glitch or whatever. Can you imagine having a really expensive bathtub that doesn't work any better than a HomeKit lock that mostly works?
I was actually just thinking that with the reliability of a lot of these devices, do you really want one of those filling up your bathtub with water unmonitored?
Yeah, okay, so let's say you do that, right? You turn it on. Oh, yeah, I want my water to be at exactly this temperature and go exactly this high. Well, what if it doesn't stop? I'm sorry, this device is not connected. This device failed to respond. I get that all the time with some of these things, if they're on the periphery of the Bluetooth range of the Apple TV, right? So I don't know.
That's a good point, yeah.
I don't know. There's also a Moen, I think that's how you pronounce it. They have this thing called U, and it's a smart shower system. And again, you can start, stop your shower. It's got a little, it's not a touchscreen, but a little LED screen in your shower. And this thing's, over $1,000 up to over $2,000. I'm sure that it's fantastic if it works perfectly, but I don't know. I would be very reluctant to rip out my shower and put in a new $2,000 shower that has, Alexa compatibility.
I'm guessing that they're going to aim this at new construction, though.
Well, yeah. And, maybe hotel rooms? I don't know. It's hard to say. It's super high-end. Even that toilet that Leander's talking about, $6,000 call.
Is that how much it was?
Yeah. I'm not kidding.
Oh, my gosh. Just to get Alexa?
My whole bathroom costs less than that.
In some states, your whole house costs less than that. I don't know. It's just, I guess maybe if you're some kind of sheik and you've got, billions of dollars of oil money, you know, maybe go for it. And if it doesn't work out, you just rip it out.
CES is like a fashion show, right? There, I mean, and sometimes the models come down the runway wearing this outfit that looks like a motorcycle. And it's totally bizarre, but it's more like a inspiration type thing. Here's right. what's possible
a
in the future.
Proof of concept.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. But it's funny, to your point, I hadn't thought about it the way you described it, but it really is true. It's almost like some of this technology is going to end up like a car phone. You know, when you see a car, it has a phone built into it, and it looks completely bizarre now because technology went a totally different way. I wonder if you end up with a Alexa-powered butt cleaner on your toilets and a $2,000 Alexa shower, if that's going to look like a car phone in the next 5 years, where people are like, are you serious? People thought this was going to be a good idea and then they went a completely different way. But you see a lot of that kind of thing at CES, and that's arguably my favorite kind of stuff.
I mean, it's definitely cool, right? I mean, it's cool to see the possibilities, but I don't know. I mean, the reality, I would have a hard time taking that kind of a gamble on the reality of it. It's, I mean, just the, I mean, aside from the money, just the ripping out something out of your wall. I mean, that's, I guess that's the problem with this stuff. It's like, it's pretty, I mean, you're talking about building something into the very fiber of your house. I don't know.
Yeah, but just think about how nice it would be to ask Alexa to turn on the water for your bidet.
What if somebody hacks
neglecting
it? You know,
the benefits.
Your bidet is like spraying your room when you're away. I mean, I don't know. I Alexa turns on so often these days when I'm like just listening to the radio or you know, streaming some radio station, right? And suddenly I've got now something coming out of this echo and something coming out of this other echo.
I mean, you can't even mention it, right?
It's like, good God.
Well, what happens when your kid's trying to troll you and he goes, Alexa, set stream power to 100%. And you're like, ah!
Lately,
he's high-fiving all his friends and you're in there.
Lately, this thing's been coming on in the middle of the night. It's like some kind of Chinese language news station. It's got this drum beating in the background. It's like, I'm like, what in the world is going on? It wakes me up in the middle of the night. I feel like I've lost my mind.
Sounds like a lovely way to wake up. Oh, I completely forgot to mention. So this year at CES, they've been having tons of weather anomalies happen. So normally when we've been there, it's been, you know, dry, lovely, sunny. But I guess this year it's been pouring the entire time. And Las Vegas doesn't get a ton of rain. And most of it is just it's a concrete jungle. So if it rains a lot, you end up with flooding down the streets, you know, in the alleys and all these different places. And this year they had the streets flood so bad, they had to close down some of the booths. Like Google had a giant funhouse that was open that they had to close due to rain. And then also the power went out in the entire convention center. Can you imagine, Leander, being in there with all of those people and the freaking power goes out and no one can see anything?
Yeah, it would be horrible.
That would be hellish.
So eerie.
Wow.
Yeah, so the power went out for a couple of hours due to the rain, and they had to evacuate everyone and take everyone outside, which I'm sure they have emergency power, but how ironic to have a power outage the one place where you would think that would never happen. Yeah, I mean, it's like the Pentagon. Crazy. I mean, it's like locked down. Everything is industrial grade. You would never think that would happen, but
can you imagine it's dark in those giant things? And these, for people who haven't been there, I mean, these things are, you know, way bigger than football fields. These buildings are gigantic.
Oh, you can't even, yeah, it's, you can't begin to describe how massive they are. They're massive.
There's no windows, and you know, suddenly all the lights are out, you know, and then you got to go outside, and what if it's raining outside? That's a nightmare. And then, I mean, it's already hard to get a taxi or a Lyft or an Uber or whatever. Can you imagine? Oh my God, that alone made me glad we didn't go this year. But whew.
If the lights went out and there was no emergency lights, you would die in there before you escaped. I mean, you would never get out. You would literally die of starvation in the dark.
Everyone must have. I bet everyone turned their smartphones on.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, probably.
So it probably was. I wonder if it was kind of magical, you know, like a whole bunch of fairy lights in there.
I'll bet it was real magical.
It's almost like a Coldplay concert, Leander. So now I bet you're really wishing you had gone this year.
I kind of like to see that.
Yeah, that actually would have been pretty cool. Although we saw the best CES event ever. It was the Samsung event where, was it Michael Bay who was on stage?
I forget about that.
And I don't know what happened, but he was brought out to give some presentation, and he kept stuttering and sputtering and not, He was not able to get his words out, and it seemed to be like there was a problem with the like the teleprompter, and then he just froze, and it was one of the most awkward events I have ever been to in my entire life. And then he just panicked and he fled the stage, leaving the entire stage empty. And there were these Samsung executives standing up there, and they're like looking around, looking at each other, and they don't know what to do because he's supposed to be speaking for like 5 minutes, and the teleprompter is broken. So they got to come back out and try to just keep the show going. And it was so awkward, but so delicious also as well. Okay, well, Buster, were you going to talk about the Osmo?
Oh, I mean, I can talk about it.
Okay, I'll leave that. I'll leave that for you then, because I think that one is definitely worth mentioning. So, one of the things that I thought was interesting, this is a classic CES device. There was a robotic pillow that was announced called the Somnox. The Somnox. It was released by a group of researchers in the Netherlands who believe that you're not sleeping well. And the reason you're not sleeping well is because you're not cuddling enough, which may be true. Sounds like it could that be sounds, right, yeah. Eh? You're not cuddling enough, so your body is not sleeping. So these researchers have created the Somnox, a gray, peanut-shaped breathing robot that's designed to nestle in your arms, Buster, and make you think that you're cuddling yours truly.
It's a little spoon. You cuddle the little spoon. You still got to be the big spoon, though.
I don't know if they have a big spoon. That I want a might big be spoon. B2.
Yeah.
You strap it onto the back.
Because, that would be just magical. You just fall asleep in somebody's arms every night.
Yeah, that's a good point. You should definitely get in touch with them and recommend that for their next Indiegogo project. So the unit will offer up soothing sounds like a heartbeat, lullabies, or nature sounds. And it will retail for the fair price of $550. But wait, it is available for a discounted price now on Indiegogo, and you might be able to get it for like, I don't know, $400 or something. Lewis, might you be able to sleep better with a peanut shaped vibrating pillow in your arms? What do you think?
I guess it depends on what the nature sounds are. I mean, if it's a rabid raccoon.
Does that at like 2 in the morning.
So I've already got that with the Alexa thing.
It's just jungle noises.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be buying an electric pillow anytime soon. I mean, I'm sorry.
Well, no food for this. Okay.
Sorry.
Leander, what else you got for us?
Well, the other thing that caught my eye was all the electric cars there. Mm-hmm. Super cool ones. The new Fisker. Looks really nice, but pure vaporware from a company that already went out of business once.
They did?
Yeah, Fisker.
Like, wait, this time we're back, and this time we're actually going to make a car.
Yeah.
Support us on Kickstarter.
They're super nice looking, though. I think they're Norwegian company, and you know, they're sort of the rivals to Tesla, even more expensive than Tesla, sports cars. It looks really, really nice. Really, really nice looking car. But, you know, pure vaporware, also way too flashy. You know, it's just like, you know, I could never, Tracy would never allow me to buy that. In fact, more at my alley is the new VW microbus.
Oh, I think I saw some pictures of that concept, and it looked gorgeous.
Right. Yeah, it's nice looking. They just said that it's going to include NVIDIA's auto platform.
Uh-huh.
And so it recognizes you and unlocks the car door if it recognizes you or members of your family. And it has all some kinds of, you know, in-car personalization. I'm not really sure. I thought they were working on a self-driving platform, but what I read, I didn't think it said it had any self-driving technology. But it's a nice-looking bus.
Oh, it looks beautiful.
And there was another one from Faraday Future, this SUV that accelerates from 0 to 60 in 2-point-something seconds. Where is it now?
Holy moly,
Make it
seconds?
The fastest SUV ever. But again, it's kind of like that one's a bit vaporware-y as well. Unannounced release date and price.
I don't know how I would feel personally about you owning a car that goes 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. I feel like that might be dangerous for your fellow citizenry. I mean, you came to CES 1 year? That was when we were with Elliot the Wolf Milkman, And didn't you guys drive up in a Porsche?
Oh, right.
And there was like a giant squirrel. There was literally like a squirrel or a giant bird lodged in your radiator because you had driven to Las Vegas at like 130 miles an hour. Right. And this animal could not get out of the way fast enough.
That's right. It was some dead animal.
It was like a huge animal, too.
I think it was a bird. It was a bird that was embedded in there. Yeah. Sad. Poor
thing. I think it was like a bald eagle. All I saw was its talon hanging from your radiator.
Yeah, we did. We made that in record time. That was fun. Yeah. On the way back, I fell asleep. I said, "I'm really sleepy, Ellie. Can you take the wheel for a little while?" And so I nod off in this really uncomfortable sleep because I keep sort of jarring awake and I'm terrified because he's speeding like crazy. But then when I do wake up, we're not in San Francisco. We're at Los Angeles.
Did he go the wrong way?
He went the wrong bloody way.
Oh, my God. So isn't Los Angeles like 7 hours from San Francisco too?
Well, you're supposed to make a sort of as you on the road from Las Vegas to San Francisco, you head towards LA, but then you take a right turn and head up the valley. And he'd missed that right turn and just kept going.
Whoops!
And hadn't noticed. You know, we were in the outskirts of LA, but when I woke up, I'm like, where the hell are we? And so then, I think it's kind of even, you know, so then it was actually even further to drive from there than it was to drive from where we were when I fell asleep. So, Ellie, good job.
Well, at least you were in a Porsche, so you could go 130 miles an hour.
We got home about 4 in the morning or something. Yeah, we were doing 130.
Yeah, off some time. Let's see here. Oh, before we continue, let me say thank you to Casper for supporting this episode. Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. With 3 mattress models now, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry, Lewis. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night, and it's delivered right to your door in a small, how did they do that, sized box. With free shipping and returns, free returns in the U.S. and Canada. But the best part is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free Sleep On It trial. You sleep on the bed, see how you like it, and if you decide it's not for you, Casper will pick up the bed and refund you everything. After all, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping. Casper wants you to make sure that you are comfortable on your mattress. Start sleeping ahead of the curve with Casper. Get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/cultcast and using code cultcast at checkout. That is $50 towards select mattresses by visiting casper.com/cultcast. Terms and conditions do apply. I also want to drop a hot tip on everyone listening. I found out about a tip this week and I thought to myself, all the cult fam will want to hear about this because it's going to help you compute better. How many times when you've been on the internet, on your iPad, on your Mac, have you closed a tab accidentally and wanted to go back to it, and then you had to like type in the URL, try to figure out where you were? I bet that happens to Leander 100 times a day. Am I right?
I did, yeah. I'm this morning.
Boom! How'd I guess?
You closed a tab?
Yeah, I know. Well, I do some tab management. You know, I had the 250 tabs I had open was making this machine crawl.
I was going to say, when you have 100 plus tabs open, it's easy to do.
I've never seen him close one.
Oh, I got you. Well, he does. He asked you when his computer absolutely comes to a halt because all of his memory is taken up by 250 open tabs. So on the Mac, there's a couple ways to do this. It's very easy. So one of the quickest ways to do it, you close a tab, you're in Safari, right? You just hit Command Z, the undo command, and the tab, poof, will reopen and go right back to where you were, okay?
Someone keeps bashing that microphone.
Yeah, is that?
Sorry.
Is that you, Buster?
Maybe.
Oh, I thought it was Leander.
Yeah, I don't think Buster, you don't have your mic arm anymore, do you?
Yeah, I do.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Are you using it?
No.
Oh, okay. That might be the problem.
Hold it like Tom Jones in your hand? What are you doing?
He just holds it, yeah.
Hey, holds it in his lap.
Tom Jones.
Jeez.
Okay, the other way is you're in Safari on the Mac still. You're looking at the tabs, right? And there's that little plus button off to the right where you can click it once and have a new tab open. Well, if you click and hold, it will pop up a history of all your recently closed tabs – So you can go through the list and pick the link that you want to reopen, and poof, it will open on your Mac. And this same trick works on iOS. And I didn't even know about this. On the iPhone, Lewis, let me tell you how it's done here, okay?
Thank you.
On the iPhone, you tap the double square icon at the bottom right in Safari, and then it pops up with all the different tabs, and then you press and hold the plus button, which is in the middle of the bottom of the screen, and then it will open up your recently closed tabs. You can do that from there. You can open up a new tab. On the iPad, or if you have your iPhone in horizontal landscape mode, the plus button will be in the upper right, and you can just press that and hold, and it will bring up the recently closed tabs. So you can reopen the tab you lost. Boom! You're welcome, LK.
I love these kinds of tips, man. These little, like, totally awesome little things that you don't know. And it's like, wow, that's so easy and perfect.
You know what? And I feel like there are tons of these tips out there, because Apple's always changing things and always adding new features. And oftentimes you don't know the shortcuts to invoke these features. So even if you've been, even if you're a pro like LK, you've been in the game since 1978 when Apple launched. You still don't know all the tips. Because there's just so many. There's just too many. There's too little time to keep track of all the tips. So hopefully that helps you all do some computing. Let's jump back into it. Let's wrap up with the remaining gadgets from CES. Who is going next? Leander just pitched some. Lewis, you got something else for us?
Well, we were talking about the sort of crazy side of HomeKit stuff, but I was encouraged by the fact that there's actually a lot of really sort of, I don't know, mundane but really useful HomeKit stuff coming out. iDevices has this Instinct smart switch coming out. It's like a, an in-wall light switch, right? But it's 4-in-1. It lets you control your lights, of course, so you can, use. This is HomeKit compatible, I said. So you can use Siri to say, hey, set my lights to 50% or whatever, all that typical that kind of stuff. But it also has a voice assistant and speaker built in, a motion sensor, and a light sensor, ambient light sensor.
So, dang, does all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear to me exactly. I think the built-in voice assistant is going to be Alexa only. I don't think they're going to let, I don't think you can put Siri in that, but still, smart speaker, yeah, it's kind of cool. The ConnectSense has an in-wall outlet coming out that's HomeKit compatible, and so you got a little two-plug outlet, you put it in your wall, and you got two separately controlled outlets that work with HomeKit. I mean, these are kind of, not flashy, it's not a $6,000 toilet, but it's very useful, and getting rid of the sort of gigantic wall wart that hangs out of your wall.
Yeah, I hate the wall warts.
Yeah, so this is this is HomeKit becoming real, and anybody can put this in, right? I mean, if you got just a tiny bit of electrical skills, you know how to turn off your circuit breaker.
Anybody. Last time I did it, I messed it up. I had to get an electrician to come in.
Okay, most homeowners. So, and even if you have to hire a handyman to do it, what's going to cost, like $40 or something to install a whole bunch of these things?
He's
doesn't
like,
take
oh,
very long.
Boy, let me go ahead and install this for you. He plugs into the wall. He turns around. He's like, well, that'd be $45, sir.
I don't know. I mean, so I'm super excited about those kinds of little incremental changes, and I'm happy to see that the HomeKit promise, which when they rolled this out, 3 or 4 years ago, it's finally starting to come to fruition, I'm always excited to see cool HomeKit stuff coming. I can't wait to try these out. So,
well, that's cool, especially because it allows you to use the lamps and the electronics and what have you that you already own. Because a lot of times the HomeKit accessories, the HomeKit hardware, they have to be HomeKit enabled. And so they have to be, newer items. But with something like that, you could churn, like, for example, my favorite lamp that we have is from, probably like the 50s or 60s. It's made out of brass. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you could never use HomeKit with that, but with something like what you just described, all of a sudden that lamp becomes much smarter. And so it allows you to churn all the regular items in your home into HomeKit stuff. I know I'm going to repeat myself for the 1,000th time. HomeKit is amazing. And once you start setting automations, it does stuff in your house that truly is magical. I have HomeKit running so many things in my house now via automation based upon the different times of day, whether or not I'm home. So many little attributes can be set to fine-tune how things are controlled in your house. By the way, Lander, HomeKit is the saving grace of the Ecobee. I have HomeKit running my Ecobee now. I've basically shut off all the Ecobee features, and I'm just telling it to shut the F up, and I'm like, just listen to HomeKit. Just do what HomeKit tells you to do, because that's the only way I can get it to actually heat my house and turn off when it's supposed to.
Oh, really?
It was a complete nightmare, complete disaster. I called their support. They had no idea how to help me. It was a total waste of my time. And then finally, I just turned everything off, and I set everything via HomeKit, and I have the heat come on at certain times, turn off at certain times. It turns off when there are no more iPhones in my house, you know, so everyone's gone.
Okay.
And then it turns back on when iPhones reach into or come into the geofence that I have set, and now all of a sudden it works great because it's not doing anything. HomeKit is handling everything. It's sad that has to be done that way, but at least it does work.
Okay, good.
So can you automate the temperature stuff at least? Can you do that with HomeKit or?
You cannot do that with the accessories that I have. There might be a way to do it, but as of this moment, I don't know. Actually, I don't even know if HomeKit allows you to change anything via temperature. You would think that it would, but I haven't figured out a way to do that with my thermostat or with my Elgato temperature sensors. So I don't think that is built in yet. Which would be nice, right?
Yeah. I mean, well, if ideally it would work with the Ecobee or Ecobee, however you pronounce it.
Right.
I mean, it's nutty that something that's built as a thermostat and is supposedly smart, it has frustrated the two of you. Leander, I'm going to come over to your house in the middle of the night, rip it out of your wall, and put it in my house, see if it's a user error.
That's better.
Yeah, funny enough, the one attribute you can set HomeKit automation based on is Ecobee motion activity. So it has motion sensors in it and the smaller sensor that come with it. And you can have the heat activate, you know, if that's triggered. But you can't do it based on heat or temperature, nutty. Is that not funny?
What is going on?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird.
I'm confused. Yeah, you know, the other thing that they're coming out with a lot now, suddenly there's like three different HomeKit buttons, right? Have you heard about these things?
I did hear about some of those, and I didn't read a lot into them. What's the purpose of a button?
Well, it's okay. Let's just say you have your lights set up with like your living room lights. You got three different settings, right? On, off, and TV or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You could have this little button right by your couch, and you just press it once, twice, or three times, whatever scene you have set up, you know. And obviously, it could be your off button could also. You know, you can set it up to trigger whatever scene you want. Like, it could be like, shut everything down, lock every door, turn on my outside lights, and turn on the TV, right? Or turn off the TV. That one is made by Elgato, which it looks just like the rest of their really cool, tiny little HomeKit devices. Very, you know, brushed aluminum, very sleek, modern, Apple-like design. There's also one by, I guess it's Fibaro? I've never heard of this company.
I haven't either.
They have one called The Button.
Aptly named?
It's this giant red button. And same thing, you know, you set it up to trigger HomeKit scenes. And then there's this other one. This is really nutty. It's called the Nano Leaf.
Looked cool.
It looks like a Dungeons & Dragons die. It's a 12-sided thing. And I guess it can set 12 different... you can set 12 different HomeKit actions with this thing. It's just, it's nutty. It says it glows with mesmerizing colors. I'm not familiar with Nanoleaf's lighting products. I think I need to find out exactly what all these people do. But, 12-sided remote control, kind of wild. I think it changes color as you rotate it, turn it clockwise or counterclockwise to alter the brightness of the home's lights. I mean, sounds nutty.
Yeah, so it looks like a 20-sided die.
Yeah.
And so you set it down, and the surface that is pointing upwards corresponds to a certain device, and that's the device that you're controlling.
Yeah.
And then, as Lewis mentioned, you can churn the dial looking object left or right to turn down the lights or turn up the lights, turn down the heat or turn up the heat, however you have it set. It was a very odd product, wasn't it? But the more I saw them demo it, the more I thought that's actually pretty cool and would be useful, I think. Although I would need to try it out and see how hard it is to remember what side corresponds with what device, because it looks like it would be like impossible to remember
right.
what you had linked to each side of yeah. the, I don't even know what to call it. The, what is it? What is the official name? The NanoLeaf what?
What is that thing called?
I don't know. I'm going to call it the...
Oh, the remote. That's what it's called. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All these really cryptic names. The button. The remote. No, I love that, though.
Kim Jong-un, who was pretty excited about that one. He's going to order one for his desk, I heard.
There was this other... it just made me think about all these product names. I mean, I love it when it's something like that, right? Easy to remember once you hear it. Targus has a dock, a USB-C dock, and its name is DOCK220USZ.
It rolls off the tongue, man.
What the hell are these people thinking?
That sounds like a Star Wars robot.
God, I don't even know where to go with that, except, you know, no thanks. There's plenty of docks that have names I can pronounce.
Yeah, I want the dock.
God call me the dock. Almighty.
Okay, Buster, what else you got for us?
Oh,
dude, you got to tell us about the Osmo, though, before you do your last one, too.
Yeah, that's it. The DJ Osmo. It's a handheld iPhone stabilizer. Actually, it's pretty awesome. Like, if you're into making video, you're kind of going to want to get one of these because they're like $130.
Yeah.
And it has 15 hours worth of charge time. And you can just do all kinds of cool stuff with it. If you connect it to your tripod, you can do time-lapse videos with it. You can also track people with it, kind of like they do on DJI's drones. It has the active tracks feature where you highlight a person, and it'll keep them in the whole frame the whole time. So you could like go off and, I don't know, do whatever you want to do.
And for those of you that don't know what a gimbal does, it's something that's used in the movie industry all the time. I mean, anytime you see a movie, you're seeing gimbal footage. And a gimbal is like a shock absorber for the camera. So it allows, like, let's say they attach a camera to a car and the car is going over a bumpy road. Well, normally the camera would shake. Well, the gimbal will absorb all the shock and it will keep the camera exactly where it's positioned so the video footage is nice and smooth. And that's what the DJI Osmo does for your iPhones. Like, you can, like, put your phone in, right? And then you could be running around or walking around and filming your dog or your kid or something. And instead of the phone shaking everywhere and making everyone want to puke, it will stay nice and smooth. Yeah. And you'll have this beautiful cinematic footage. And generally speaking, the more expensive the gimbal, the better the vibration reduction is. So I'm curious to see how well the DJI Osmo works. Or I should say the Osmo 2. Because it's new and improved over the Osmo 1. And the big news on top of the new release of the hardware is the fact that they lowered the price from $300 to $130.
Yeah.
Which I think at $130...
It's like a no-brainer on buying
it. It's almost an impulse buy, isn't it?
It's like a no-brainer.
If you're already like using a selfie stick or something like this, just buy a gimbal and then you're going to have like a selfie stick plus like
can
smooth
you touch
footage
a stick
all
to
the
it?
Time. You probably could. I don't know. It has a tripod mount on the bottom, so I guess yeah, you could attach another stick to it.
Just tie a stick with some twine or something.
Yeah,
yeah. Come on, Lander, use your imagination.
Well, I've seen these things, and they are definitely cool. But you know, like it's still one of the. I think it's you know, like unless you're making videos all the time with your phone.
Yeah.
It's kind of a gimmicky thing, right?
Why do you have an iPhone if you're not making videos with it all the time?
Yeah,
right. Leander.
Like,
well, like, you know,
that's the real problem.
Are you
problem?
Not doing anything cool in your life, Leander? Is that why?
I want to get a video of that Pico bowl that you eat every day. I want a video every single day of that same thing. You eating
the
there.
Poke bowl, yeah.
Poke
okay.
bowl, yeah.
It's a maxi poke bowl, not a Pico.
Oh, he gets the maxi. Of course he does. Well, when you don't eat for 7 days, you want a real meal when you finally get back to food. Yeah, so that was a really cool product and one that I'm looking forward to trying out. They're only going to be selling that at the Apple Store, by the way. When it goes on sale, it's only going to be available. It looks like pre-orders start January 23rd and only at the Apple Store. And I'm looking forward to trying that one out. And then what's your big kicker there, Buster? The big one that you you wanted to bring home?
Well, like my favorite part of CES is all the weird stuff, like you were saying. Like I skip all the big booths and I go straight to like South Hall or Central Hall, all the way back to the weird Chinese booth companies.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, take me deep.
Oh, because they always got weird stuff. This year somebody's got a ping pong playing robot that. It can tell, like, it's also got, like, all kinds of cool sensors. Like, it can tell if you're enjoying playing with it. Like, it can tell if you're smiling or frowning. And what? It will adjust its level of play to that. So it's not supposed to beat you. It's supposed to help you get good. So you get into, like, Forrest Gump mode and just rally with the robot.
Ba-dun, 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 ba-dun. Yeah. So you're just hitting that ball back and forth.
Do they call it Forrest Gump mode?
They call it Forius is what the name of the robot
sounds
is.
A lot like Forrest.
I think it's made by the same company that also did like the beer pong robot. That one. So this year they're doing a ping pong playing robot.
Did you catch the price on that?
You know, it's not for sale. It's really more of a demo. But I'm sure they'll make you one for like $20,000 or something if you ask.
I don't know. Sounds pretty high tech. Might be more. Does anyone else have any other gadgets they want to pitch, or should I go ahead and pitch my last one?
I saw an Asus Bluetooth speaker.
Yeah.
That has a wireless mesh networking node built in, which I thought was a great idea. Huh.
Why pitch something practical? We're just going for weird and wacky now.
Yeah, you're right.
Nothing I actually want to
that
buy.
Sounds like something that someone would actually want to buy and use. Yeah, I also want to mention, before I wrap up with my my last item, I want to mention the stuff from Philips Hue. I love Philips Hue lights. I know, Lewis, you use them too. They're amazing, aren't they? They're some of my favorite gadgets even to this day. And Philips had some announcements that weren't super exciting, but I thought were at least worth mentioning. So right now, their products are only indoor. They announced that they're going to be releasing outdoor products that are going to be released sometime this summer. So really looking forward to that. They're going to be updating their Hue app, which if you own any Hue products, you know how terrible their Hue app is? It's awful. It's so bad. It's like it was definitely designed by Johnny Ive's doppelganger, like the guy who does not dress in V-necks and is terrible at designing everything. That's the guy who designed the Philips Hue app currently. They're also announcing partnerships, which I thought was interesting. So their first partnership is with Razer, and Razer makes a whole lot of really cool PC and Mac accessories, headphones, mice, keyboards, that type of thing. And they all have some level of luminescence, like LED lighting built in. And Philips is partnering with them so that your room lights will sync to your keyboard lights or your mouse lights or, you know, your other PC peripherals, which, you know, sounds interesting. I don't know if it's going to be more than a novelty or something that people actually use, but it does sound like something I want to try out. And then also, they announced Hue Sync, which will analyze anything that is displayed on your monitor in real time and then adjust your lights accordingly to complement the content that's on your screen. And if you remember, a while ago, Philips used to sell TVs. I don't know if they still do, but they had this technology that did this, that did a similar thing for their TVs. It would analyze whatever was happening on your television screen, and the back of the TV would project lighting onto the wall that made the cinematic experience more immersive. And it was actually a really cool technology that I was hoping that other manufacturers would adopt, and they didn't. And I don't even know if Philips still sells this technology anymore. But with this new Hue Sync technology, you could recreate that experience on your television or on your monitor for a similar effect. And it makes watching movies much cooler. So hopefully they'll end up, you know, not having a lot of lag time in the lighting scenario changes and that type of thing. Anyway, last pitch, and we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I also have a great love for the weird stuff, for the wacky stuff, for the wild stuff. And this next product meets all of those descriptors. So it's called the Vortix, V-O-R-T-X, and it blows air in your face while you're gaming, and it's great. It's absolutely ridiculous, totally frivolous, and that's exactly why you're going to love it. It's a cube that sits on your desk, and it blows hot or cold air in your face, depending on what's happening on your screen. and the air responds dynamically to the action. So let's say you're running through the fiery hellscape of doom. Well, the fan will blow hot and fast. It'll feel like the devil himself is farting right in your face. You're watching Han Solo search for Luke on planet Hoth. It'll blast ice cold air right on your brow. It'll be so cold, you'll want to climb inside a freshly dead Tauntaun and wait for help to arrive.
Wow. What does this thing look like?
It looks like a little box. And I'll link to the video because the developers talk about it very seriously and they talk about all the technology that went into it. And you know, when I'm reading the device, you're like, what the hell is this? Why would anyone want this? But then you go and watch the video and the developers talking about it very passionately and talking about all the different algorithms that had to go into it that analyze the video and the audio so they could tell what's happening in your movie or game. And so the air could be adjusted accordingly. You're like, geez, dude, it's like 3 years of research went into this product just so it will blow some air on your face. And they designed it so developers don't need to add any special software to their games or videos for the Vortex to work. They have built in what they call environmental experience algorithms. Sounds fancy, doesn't it? That reads the on-screen action. So the Vortex will automatically sync with major games like Destiny or Overwatch or any YouTube video. This is going to make your YouTube videos so much better. The next time you're watching that Jake Paul video, and you're going to feel the air hitting you right in the face. And it's just going to make all your video experiences so much better. Leonard, are you buying it? Are you ready to get blown in the face?
I saw there was one that does scents.
Oh.
Smells as well. Yeah. I think it's more like an aromatherapy kind of thing. But I mean, if it was like smell-o-rama, then I'd buy it. Like if it could blast, you know, some hot.
Devil fart.
Well, I wasn't going to say farts.
You don't just want a simulation of the devil's fart.
I want to watch cooking videos and smell, you know, sizzling steak and that kind of thing. I want to, I want nice smells, not horrible smells.
So when you're listening to that girl talk about ASMR, you can smell her morning breath.
Right. I can smell her perfume.
Or her perfume, yeah. Even been blowing right in your face.
What you're talking about with that air thing, whatever that thing is called, the blower, if that actually just senses what's going on, that's really kind of interesting.
You think so?
Yeah, well, I mean,
I was reading the description and I was like, what the hell? Who would pay for this?
Well,
I'm
not saying I want one. I'm saying that if they have got the ability to watch a random YouTube video and say, oh, this one needs hot air blowing in your face, I think that's pretty amazing.
Oh, so you like you think the technology behind it is interesting?
Yeah, the machine learning or artificial intelligence or whatever that allows some random YouTube video to be interpreted as needing hot air or cold air or, you know, short puffs, blasts. I mean, if it could actually do that, that's pretty astonishing.
Turn on the puffs. This video definitely needs more puffs.
Right. Yeah. Look, it's somebody doing a bong hit and you know they exhale and you get a little right in your face.
I hadn't considered that. Turn on the warm
man.
Hot puff.
I mean, that's if that's real, if you got that right and they got that right, then that's amazing.
Hearing you describe it actually makes it more exciting than it was initially when I was watching the video. Right. I was like, oh, maybe that is pretty cool, especially with the bong puffs. The guy blows it into the screen and it just hits you right in the face.
Can you imagine?
Now Leander's interested too.
add the smell-o-vision stuff and man, you got a winner.
Yeah, there you go. It's crazy though, hearing the engineers talk about all the research that went into making this technology work and how they have to use video and audio to determine what is happening in the scene. And they have to break the audio into these very small components. And it was like, I was like, just listening to all this. And I was like, you were so interested in whether or not you could do this. You never stopped to ask if you should, you know, like, why would anyone actually want to have this fan sitting on their desk blowing air into their face? Has there ever been a single person ever who is playing Halo and got to one of those big vistas in the game where you're overlooking the cliff and said, oh man, you know what would make this game better? If a fan was blowing me in the face.
Well, I mean, you know, this is all a part of sort of virtual reality becoming creepily real. I mean,
oh, maybe
if they could do that kind of stuff, I don't know, man. I mean,
maybe if you're wearing the virtual reality goggles at the same time too.
Yeah. Except the goggles will make it so you can't feel anything on your face.
Oh, right. They're going to have to build it into the goggles then.
Yeah, and there's blood on your eyes.
I mean, think about that, though. Like, you're in some kind of, like, racing game or something, and then suddenly, like, there's the goggles are spitting air into your face, and you suddenly can't see, and it's harder to – I mean, I don't know. It could be pretty wild.
Dang, the more Lewis describes it, the more I'm like, man, this
you
is cool.
Get it.
Yeah, I gotta get one of these. Well, especially for a racing game.
Yeah, I mean, well, just think about
air
it.
Air is just hitting your face. You're coming around the corner.
Think about how much harder that would make it and more realistic.
Yeah, especially if they add water to it. So it's like you're on a rainy track and like you're just trying to play a game and it's like shooting water into your face and you're like, pff,
pff. Oh, man.
Man.
The future's going to be great.
The future's going to be so cool. All righty, well, we could go on because there's so many more gadgets that I saw that were just completely wild and out of this world, but we're out of time. We should go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come talk to us about any of the stories that we talked about in today's show or any of the gadgets, or did we miss one that you want us to check out, we're on Twitter. I'm at Arifon. Lander is L. Caney. Buster is BST3R. Lewis is at Lewis Wallace. This has been the Cultcast, the best, the weirdest, the wackiest 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I want to get some smell-o-vision on Leander's YouTube videos.
Terrifying.
Mine?
Yeah, I want Katie's corner with smell-o-vision.
With BL and...
What is that smell? Let's just emulate the smell of Leander Caney.
It's like a week old poke bowl.
'Cause I was just saying, you were playing some Japanese guys the other day at Soft Darts.
Oh, yeah.
Who won?
Varied. Mostly us. When you do it, everybody's got a ranking and kind of handicap stuff, but we were going with people like our level or slightly better.
Soft tip? What does that even mean?
They're regular darts, you know, but they have little plastic tips that you screw in. And you play, it's an electronic board, you know?
Oh, and does the board have like a bunch of plastic tabs all over it? So when you throw it, it has to go into like one of the holes?
Yes, it has holes. And they have sensors and things. And it's all really, it's kind of wild. I mean, if you remember like back in the old days, they used to have little electronic dart boards, right? Well, these are different. These are pretty crazy. I mean, they're almost like online kind of video games, you know, because you if you get a certain score, it might flash up a screen that has some custom image that you know, pay money or achieve, you know, to get through achievements or whatever. All these things cost money. Cost like $1 a game, I think.
Whoa.
And you know, you have a little, it's pretty slick, you have a little card that you put in the machine, you know, and like if two people are playing, two other people, like me and the guy here in San Francisco, we both put our cards in, boom, instantly our names are on the screen, our ratings, and you say, oh, okay, we want to play somebody somewhere, and it just pops up all these people, you know, and you say, okay, well, let's play these guys in Singapore, or let's play this guy in Denver, Colorado. I mean, it's kind of crazy.
Whoa, so it's like Xbox Live for darts.
Yeah.
So you're playing people, and those people playing in real time?
Oh yeah, there's cameras. I mean, you look up and you wave to them, right?
Oh wow!
It's all kind of, they look like surveillance cameras. I mean, it's kind of grainy and weird, but it's kind of fun, man. It's like, wow, I'm playing somebody in Hawaii. I'm playing somebody in Japan. I'm playing somebody in China. I don't know about China.
Japanese guys you're playing, they were in Japan.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Right. Oh. Yeah. playing people in Japan.
I thought you were just playing a Japanese guy. I was like, oh, okay. Are they particularly good at darts? No one's better than the doctor. Dr. Dart.
It's international, man.
That's crazy. And does it pump out tickets that you can collect and trade in for things like a bouncy ball or like chattering teeth or something like that?
If only.
That's Chuck E. Cheese. That's where Lewis likes to hang out during the day.
That's where he works from, his work from home office.
I don't know if that's on my calorie counting app. Giant
cheese. Well, you can burn off the extra calories in the ball pits.
You know what's hilarious? Trying to
escape from the ball pit? That's serious cardio.
Just trying to get out of it, yeah. Yes,
right. Especially times, when you're like 325 and you sink right to the bottom and they got to call like a paramedic to get you out of it. And there's kids jumping on top of you.